I'd like to meditate with you on seeking God. That implies that there is within the heart of the believer a hunger for God, a thirst for the things of God. There are too many Christians who are just laid back about the things of God. They're just totally relaxed. It doesn't challenge them anymore. And that is a trap to fall into. I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 17 and look at a pair of verses that will be a key passage to look on a specific theme. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is preaching before the High Court of Athens, the Areopagus, and he says in verse 26 that God has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. And he goes on with his message. Now, what he is saying there is very plainly, God has created the nations, set the very boundaries of their territories, the very times of their existence, in order that men should seek the Lord. Now, that tells you what's going on over in Yugoslavia is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of God's definite dealing with mankind. The people that are in that Kosovo region are largely Muslims, and they would never consider Christianity. Here is an opportunity in which they are being treated unjustly. And there's an opportunity there for Christians to do something about it and be a testimony for them. And we ought to pray as a people that those poor refugees, harmed as they have been by circumstances, will, through all of these happenings, find the testimony that will bring eternal life to them. God can arrange this. And this is why things like this happen. Not just to harm people, God doesn't operate that way. But oftentimes he has to disturb the whole social and political setup because his purpose is that men will seek him. Sometimes when the suffering gets hard enough, very cold, unconcerned people begin to pray. And God is listening. Now, if that is true, that God organizes everything so that men will seek him, then it behooves us to look very carefully at what the Bible says about seeking God. I want to start with the Psalms. In Psalm 27 and verse 8, David has something to say. He's telling us something that happened in his heart. If anyone had a heart relationship with God, it was David. No one can read his Psalms without realizing how profound that heart relationship is. In verse 8, he says, "When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." All right, God invited David to seek him, to worship him, to serve him. And David's response was positive. He responded, "Yes, thy face, Lord, will I seek." But it came from his heart. It wasn't just a nice idea that would flit in and out of his consciousness and be easily forgotten. No, it was a heart dedication. He yearned for God. His whole heart was given to God. And he responded to serve God with everything that was within him. God gave him marvelous opportunities of doing just that. When you consider that he was the author of over half of the Psalms, my, to consider the privilege of being able to write just one psalm that would be in the Holy Word of God. And he had half the book that he was going to write. A tremendous thing. And all of those psalms came from his heart. It was a heart of devotion to God. And that devotion is just burning in those psalms. Now, here's an example of someone who really sought God. It was a response that was instantaneous and lifelong. In this same psalm, dropping down to verse 11, he says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. He was not arrogantly going his own way. He was not picking out, I want this and I want to do that and so on. This is the way sometimes Christians treat the Lord. But no, David did not. He had chosen the Lord. He was now serving the Lord. And he asked the Lord for guidance, leading, instruction. Teach me in thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain, clear pathway so that he knows he is in God's will. My, these are things we can echo. We need that plain, clear leading that we may follow God's will without question, without doubt, without hesitation. That's what David is asking for. We need to ask for that as well. It's very evident that he was determined to please and serve God. And so in verse 14, he gives us a challenge. He says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Well, it's hard to wait. Nobody likes to wait. We all want to hurry up and get something done. But here, David understood a great truth. You cannot hurry God, because what God is doing is molding character. And that is the hardest thing to change in the universe. None of us will ever do it by ourselves. We can make good resolutions one after the other, fail to keep them. But God can change us permanently for the good. And that's what he's doing with all of us. He's working on us, molding, shaping us, using circumstances, moving us in the right direction. And we have to wait upon the Lord, to stand ready to serve, ready to obey, ready to respond to what he wants. And in the meantime, look at his word for marching orders. Seek him in his word, that we might perceive the right pathway and be ready to act in obedience to what we see there. David surely had that heart relationship. He speaks as one who embraced the Lord and who is walking his pathway without mental reservations. In Psalm 34, we see another very important statement in verse 4. David says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. How did David seek the Lord? He sought through prayer. Now, this tells us again the necessity of prayer. We must not go along as though we were orphans, struggling along with circumstances, trying blindly to find our own way. We are not orphans. We are the children of the heavenly King. He desires to lead us, but we must ask him for the guidance. He is not going to foist it upon us. He is not going to compel us to listen. We must desire to hear his word. And so here, David sought the Lord and heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Everything he was worried about, God was able to take care of. Every one of us can find that very same response. Every last thing we fear, everything we are concerned about, God can take care of completely. That's another reason why we should, in prayer, seek his face and see to it that he indeed is in full charge of our lives and activities. Look at verse 6, his testimony. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He asked God for help. God helped him, delivered him from everything that was troubling him. That needs to be our testimony as well. We too need to seek God this way and see his deliverance in every matter that troubles us. Too often we are struggling along, trying to solve these things by ourselves. It's beyond us, but it's not beyond him. He knows exactly what to do. Look at verse 10. He says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Yes, the fiercest hunters that they knew, the young and vigorous lions, they certainly knew how to run down game. Well, they could fail. They could miss the prey. They could go hungry. But they that seek the Lord are not going to go hungry. They that seek the Lord are not going to be in difficult circumstances without help. God is there to help them. In verse 15, he says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. He is listening for our prayers. Far too often we go struggling along, muttering to ourselves about how hard the pathway is, when he is listening, waiting to hear from us, and we're just struggling along, not praying. We need to get over that. We need to recognize that there is much in this life that we cannot change, that we cannot fight against. But God can solve the whole problem. God certainly has a will in the matter. We need to ask Him to step in, accomplish His purpose, and deliver us, put our feet on His pathway, and bless that pathway to His glory. Psalm 40 is another psalm in which David expresses this. In Psalm 40, verse 16, David says, "Let all those that seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee. Let such as love Thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified." Now, this tells us that if we seek the Lord, we ought to be happy. If you were seeking help from a human being, you would have mixed emotions. Even if they wanted to help you, were they able to? You know, we could have second questions about some of those. But when you come to the Lord of the universe and ask Him for help, there is no doubt that He has the strength and the wisdom to do exactly what is needed to accomplish His purpose. Now, if that's the case, we can rejoice. Yes, things may be hard. There may be trials for us to go through. It's just for a time. God is in charge. He is going to see to it that all of this is worked out. We can praise His name. We can rejoice. We may not see the answer yet, but we know He is in complete control and that He will indeed accomplish His will in our lives. No ground at all for sadness, worry, anxiety. They don't belong in the lives of Christians, because we have a great God who is able to deliver us, who has declared that He will, and so we should be a happy people, rejoicing in His presence, confident that He will indeed accomplish everything that He promises in His Word. It is significant that in verse 2, David testifies that He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Now, things were hopeless for him. There was no way out. He was doomed. But God rescued him, pulled him up and set him on a mighty rock, gave him that foundation that he needed. David could testify, it was the Lord's doing, not his own. He says in verse 3, "He has put a new song in my mouth." Oh, yes, David could sing. And literally and spiritually, he could sing. And he was praising God for what God had done. That rejoicing spirit was there. And he had a life filled with trials, filled with difficulties and heartache. But God was always there, delivering him, accomplishing His purpose, and he could sing. He could praise God for what God was doing. We too need that song in our hearts, to praise God in the midst of trials and difficulties. They're not there to crush us. They're there to cause us to pray, to seek God. And God is fully able to accomplish everything that we desire, right on His own good time. In Psalm 77, we have another expression, this time in a psalm of Asaph, Psalm 77 and verse 2. The psalmist says, "In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted." All right, here's the psalmist in a time of physical sickness and pain, and he couldn't find human comfort anywhere. He needed to seek the Lord. And so in verse 1, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me." Yes, whatever our difficulties, whether they are physical like this, God can help us. In verse 3, he goes on to say, "I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. My spirit was overwhelmed." Sometimes the trouble is not physical. Sometimes we're overwhelmed with spiritual difficulties, spiritual adversaries, whatever. God's grace and power is sufficient in all these things. He is the one that we must bring into these situations so that He may accomplish what He wants out of these things. In verse 8, he says, "Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore?" Oh, we've got to ponder that one very carefully. When we think of a human being who could help us, well, maybe he desires to, but he just can't do it. Maybe he's just not talented enough or not strong enough or whatever. And we may legitimately have doubts that way, but we're talking here about the Lord of the universe. If he promises something, is he going to let his promise fall to the ground? Well, the answer to that is no. In the history of God's people, there's not a solitary saint in all the ages who can ever testify, I called upon the Lord for help and he let me fall. That has never happened. Every saint who has asked for help finds out immediately God is there. The help is there. God's power is at work in the life. Things are not as bad as they seem because God is part of the life. That is something that we must always count upon. We're not just trusting a human being. We're not like the liberals, believers in the Psalms as being just the work of a human being. No, this is the inspired word of God. This is a divine promise. God is not going to let his promise fall. He's going to keep it. And so we should have the faith that Asaph had, that God would not break his word. He will indeed deliver. He will indeed raise us up, even as he did the psalmist here. Our confidence should be in him. In verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. The psalmist thought about all the deliverances God had made recounted in Scripture. Oh, what a strength that is. And when we feel discouraged, we ought to do the same thing the psalmist did. Start going back through the Scriptures and noting, what did God do for Abraham? What did God do for Isaac? What did God do for Jacob? What did God do for Moses, for Joshua, for the judges, and so on? You start going down the line, and there's without break, there's one deliverance after another, one keeping of a promise after another. God never failed them. He accomplished his will for all of them. The psalmist says, remember these things. God has never betrayed his people. He will not start with you either. That's a great comfort to our hearts. In Psalm 105 and verse 4, the psalmist says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. And that says literally we should seek his face constantly, continuously. Now, friends, we're the weak ones. We have all kinds of frailties. God is the source of all strength. He is El, the Mighty One. He does not lack any power. He can accomplish perfectly whatever he wills. And so, seek the Lord and his strength. Yes, we don't have any. Our strength can be exhausted easily. But God can never run out of strength. God is able to impart his strength to every believer. So the psalmist says, seek God's strength. He has the strength that we lack. We must not get the idea that we must struggle down the pathway, struggle onward, you know, gritting our teeth and clenching our fists and just trying harder. That is not the way the Christian life is lived. The Christian life is lived by accepting God's challenge to be obedient to his word and going forth with faith and confidence that God's strength is with us. Underneath are the everlasting arms. He is not going to let his people fall. He is going to bear them up in his arms. That is his word. He says so again and again. His strength is sufficient. That's a promise. Again and again, God assures us he is our strength. So we should accept that promise. We should claim that promise. The next time we feel weak and intimidated by what we must do, let's remember, it is his strength we can draw upon. He is the one who can enable us to fulfill all his commission. In verse 7, that same psalm, the psalmist reminds us he is Jehovah, our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Jehovah, the great I Am, the eternally existent one, the one who was here before anything in the universe began, who will be here forever. He can never change. He is always the one true God. He is the one who has given us these promises. It is his strength, absolutely infinite strength, that he holds out to us. How careful we should be to be in the center of his will, traveling his pathway, drawing upon his strength, letting him accomplish his purpose. Psalm 119, one of the precious psalms, in verse 10, says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Here is prayer from the heart. He desires to serve God from the heart. With his whole heart, he has sought God. It's not been just a part-time job for him. It's consumed his whole attention. And he prays, "Let me not wander from thy commandments." He wants God's will. He wants to be obedient to the Word. He wants to walk the right pathway. And his heart is with his God. My friends, that's an example that we must all follow. We too need to heed that zeal that we see in Psalm 119, that desire for the Scriptures, constantly feeding upon the Word, constantly communing with God through the Word. We need that in our own lives. In verse 57 of that great psalm, the psalmist says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words." Yes, the psalmist had made God his whole inheritance, his portion in life. If he lost everything, as Job did, he still had everything because he had God. God was his portion. Now, we need this same kind of single-minded devotion to the Lord that we see in Psalm 119. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, we've already read it. It is a very familiar verse. "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Mendelssohn set that verse to music in the great oratorio Elijah. That is one of the most beautiful solos in the entire literature. But that comes from the heart. Not everybody knows that Mendelssohn was a converted Jew. Mendelssohn is a Jewish name. He was a convert when it cost something to be a convert. And he not only made a public profession, in his music he paid tribute to the Lord again and again, not only in such songs like that, but he also wrote the famous Reformation Symphony, in which he put the very hymn of the Reformation into a symphony and integrated it with such a marvelous composition. He was a musician who was not afraid to declare his faith, and those are very rare in the history of music. Now, in this verse, we've got to recognize, "Ye shall seek me and find me." It assumes that the believer is seeking God. It assumes that the believer has a heart for God and desires fellowship with God. It assumes that. But now there's the problem of finding him. Some seek and give up. They get distracted. They just get tired and quit. Here he says, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." The undivided heart relationship. Now, there are people like the rich man that the Lord talked to who wanted to be rich and have his possessions and be religious. The Lord will not play second fiddle to things. If we really wish to seek the Lord, then that means we seek the Lord with the whole heart, all our being, as the psalmist phrased it, "Thou art my portion." Nothing else matters. God is the most important single personage in the life. That's what he's saying. God means everything. The Lord Jesus warned, "You cannot serve both God and mammon." The world tries it. Some Christians try it. It can't be done. We have to choose that we are on God's side. We're going to serve Him with a whole heart. No mental reservations. We're with Him, even as Job phrased it, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him." Absolute devotion to the Lord. No questions left. Where there's that kind of devotion, "You shall seek and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Friends, we need that devotion. That humble seeking of God in prayer, every day, in service, in meditation upon His Word. Everything that we do should be filled with the thought of God. Not the thought of material goods, not the thought of just having pleasure. There's nothing wrong with either of those, but they're not first. Those things are tools to be used and set aside again. But God is not a tool to be used and set aside. God is the Lord of the universe. God is the supreme being, the reason why we are all here. We come to serve Him with no division, no competition. He is everything. We are His servants. We want His will. We want His blessing on our life. And when we seek Him with that kind of zeal, that kind of heartfelt devotion, the promise is, yes, you will surely find me. God desires us to come and seek Him. He desires that fellowship. But He does not want people like the rich man to use God for conveniences and to really appreciate things. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, each one of us needs a heart that is devout in its personal relationship with the Lord. No competition, no rivals. God must be supreme. We are servants of the Lord, or we are not servants at all. In this quiet moment, each one of us need to renew in our hearts that vow to seek God with everything we are and everything we have, to make Him first, to accept His will, to walk His pathway, to let Him use us. O Lord, how we thank Thee for Thy word, the precious promises that are there. How we thank Thee for the privilege of knowing Thee as personal Savior. How we thank Thee that Thou dost welcome us to seek Thy face. Forgive us, Lord, that we get distracted, that we get tired. Forgive us, Lord, that we forget. Keep us focused on what really matters. Direct our attention to Thee. Cause us to think of Thee. Put within our hearts that hunger, that thirst, that determination to seek Thee with a whole heart. No reservations, that Thou mightest be Lord of all. Give us the grace to follow Thee humbly, to be Thy servants, that the Lord Jesus may be exalted and glorified. Hear us, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.